right, well, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. You sounded good this morning, and it was an awesome time of worship. For those joining us online, welcome as well. I hope you are worshiping and praising God today from wherever you're at and wherever you are joining us. Now, today we are continuing our series, Stay Salty. You know, last week I shared the verse with you. It's Matthew 5:13, and it says this. It says that you are, Jesus is talking to his followers, you are the salt of the earth. And that means we're meant to be salty. And with that statement, he gave us the Beatitudes with the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave us a few other things. And, you know, what we know about salt is that it adds flavor. It makes bitter things better. It amplifies the good. And so as Jesus' followers, we're called to go into the world and make bitter things better and good things great. And that's what Jesus calls us to. Last week at the end of service, if you were here, if you were watching online, I challenged you to take a covenant of salt that says, hey, this I'm gonna do my very best every single day to live out these things that Jesus gave us. I wanna go over that again really quickly. They'll put that up on the screen. The Stay Salty Covenant. And this comes from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And it says this, that we are every day we're going to depend on God. We're going to grieve over sins, our own and the sins of the world. We're going to be repentant. We're going to submit daily to God's word. We're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We are going to keep our heart pure. We're going to seek peace and seek reconciliation. We're going to suffer in joy. We're going to, you know, as we are persecuted, as we suffer, we're going to suffer in joy. And then the last thing for the salt covenant is that we would pray for our enemies. Does this help anyone out this week? Did anyone have any luck saying, hey, you know what, I'm going through a hard time, but I'm remembering the covenant. Does anyone, I don't have my phone with me, does anyone have it on their phone? Anyone doing that this week? You get, no, oh, well, we'll try again, I guess. Maybe we'll try another salt covenant. But man, that's meant to help you, to be an encouragement for you, to be a reminder for you. My kids were arguing this week. I was like, hey, what's up? Be the salt of the earth. And they understood that. And so it's something we need to challenge ourselves to every single week. Now this week I want to dive into Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians 4, 2 through 6. I'm going to unpack all that, but what we're really focusing on is our speech, that we would have salty speech. Colossians 4, 6 says this, that your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt. And so that's kind of where we're going today. We'll get to that in just a minute. Now, for as long as I can remember, I've been pretty quick-witted. In conversations and just in different moments. And most of the time, I use my quick-wittedness to be funny, to tell jokes, and to bring laughter and joy. But I can't tell you there was a time before I was a Jesus follower when I would use my quick-wittedness to just be outright nasty to people and just make them feel like garbage. Anyone else ever done that, if you're willing to admit it? Come on, people. Yeah, you can put your head down and raise your hand up. It's okay. We do that, and you know, it's fun. It's fun to be quick-witted. And it's fun to make jokes, but there's this part of me that isn't full of Jesus, right? The sinful part that, you know, in moments when I don't like what someone's doing or what they're saying or how they're treating someone else, I use my words to tear them down, and that's not what we're called to do. And I was thinking about this too, even in our words, and something that I've learned is that you could tell someone 9 encouraging, kind, and wonderful things, and then tell them one bad thing, and guess which one they're going to remember? The bad. That's the one that's going to stick with them. I mean, you just think about that in the course of your day, in the course of your week. Think about the words that are coming out of your mouth around your kids, around your coworkers, around your classmates. And maybe most of the time it's good, and you're being kind, and your tone is nice, but then there's that moment where things don't go good, and sadly, people like to stick to our faults and our mistakes, and they hold on to that. And there's a portion of that where we gotta own up to that, and we gotta be mindful of that, and we gotta recognize that, man, we weren't using our words in a good way. I came to this question that you need to ask yourself, and that is this: do your interactions with people leave them wanting more? We talked about salt being something that adds flavor, right? Do your interactions with people make them want to come back for seconds, right? Or, after they've had an interaction with you, they go on Google and give you a one-star review and never come back and visit you again. Is that your interactions? You see, if the meal, right, if we go out somewhere and the meal is seasoned very well, what do? We go back for more. And the same is true for our speech. If our speech is seasoned with salt, the things that Jesus calls us to, guess what? People in your lives, they're going to come back for more. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we do that, before we dive into God's word, let's pray together. God, right now, as we learn from your word, as we read over Colossians and Philippians, and you challenge the words that are coming out of our mouth, God, may we be reminded that the things that come out of our mouth overflow from our heart. God, so right now, I pray for our hearts. I pray for our minds. I pray for any distractions that are coming against us. I pray, God, that your spirit can speak and move to each of us individually, and that we could take it from here and go out into this world and be the salt of the earth. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want to read Colossians 4, 2 through 6, the whole thing. I want to read that out to you so you get the full picture. It'll be on the screens behind me. It'll be online. If you have your Bible, you can pull it out. The version that I'm reading from in this is going to be the Amplified version. And here's what it says. It says, "Be persistent and devoted to prayer. Be alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us too that God will open a door of opportunity to us for the word, to proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear and speak boldly and unfold the mystery in the way that I should. Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you." Verse 6 says, "Be persistent and devoted to prayer. Be alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving." So I want to unpack all of that and how that's going to apply to our lives. You know, one of the things that I said last week, and I say a lot, you know, but as it pertains to what we're talking about, if you want to stay salty every day, it's going to require you to be in God's word every day, right? So you can go back, you can get filled up. If you're you know, taking what you have in Christ and you're giving that out, you need to be filled back up, and it comes from the word. But the same is true for prayer. If you're persistently praying and going to God and petitioning God, you're going to stay salty. But we got to make sure that our prayers aren't mean prayers or hateful prayers or self-serving prayers. Like, God, hey, crush my enemies. Hey, God, that person that was judging me, I need you to cause something bad to happen to them. God, can you maybe give me some more money? God, I need that person to like me. God, can you give my kids some natural consequences for the way that they're treating me? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some prayers that we might throw up. The prayers that I'm talking about, this persistent prayer, it goes back to, you know, the Beatitudes, that covenant of salt. God, help me to not be arrogant in my spirituality. Help me, God, to be humble. Help me to continue every day to hunger and thirst for righteousness. God, I'm coming to you and I'm repenting of the sins that I have in my life. God, I pray that I'd have a pure heart and that I would seek peace and reconciliation. God, help me, though it may be hard, to pray for my enemies. And in all of it, God, I thank you for all that you've given me, all that you've done for me. God, thank you. This is the kind of prayer that we need to be persistently praying and going to God and asking him for these things. And when we can allow that covenant of salt to be our persistent prayer. And when we persistently pray, you know, just like going to God's word, you know, in those moments where we feel depleted, where we feel like we don't have anything left, we go to prayer, we go to God, we ask him for wisdom, we ask him for guidance, we ask him for encouragement. You see, persistent prayer, if you are persistently going to God, it's going to help keep you from saying something you will later regret. Now think about it. Think about saying a prayer before you are entering into a difficult conversation. Think about going to God and praying before you decide to respond harshly or impulsively. Think about asking God for wisdom to guide you when you know you have to have a serious or helpful conversation with somebody. Pray that your words would penetrate any walls of hurt or shame or disappointment that are going on in someone else's life. This act of persistently praying is going to help you continually, you know, be humble and be kind and pursue righteousness and seek peace and be a peacemaker in the relationships in your lives. Now, as it goes to praying, there's something that's very, very key. And it's really interesting that you see this throughout the Bible, but it says, as you're praying, pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. Listen, if you want to stay salty, right? If you want to be a salty Jesus follower, can I just tell you, it's going to require you to always be thankful. No matter the circumstance, no matter what's going on in your life, always be grateful. Always be looking for the way that God is working and moving in your life. You're here. He has you here. It is for a purpose. If anything, be thankful that you're breathing today, right? And think about those things that you can be thankful for. You know, salty Jesus followers, they never forget how good God is. They never forget that God is a provider. You see, whether we're in provision or in want, we're called to be thankful. Now, the Apostle Paul, he kind of models this for us, and we're going to jump over down to Philippians, verse 4. We're going to look at verses 6 and then 12 and 13. It's going to be on the screens. Here's what it says, Philippians 4, 6. It says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, in all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need. And we all love this one, right? I am able to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we can be thankful in that, right? That in our weakness, what? He is strong. That maybe we are lacking, but he never is. It's through this prayer with thanksgiving that we must make our request known. And we don't go to God and say, God, I've never gotten this. God, you've never done this for me. No, no, no. It's God, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and for salvation. God, thank you for the blessings in my life, whether there's a lot or a little. God, right now I'm coming to you. Hear my prayer. And God, I pray that you would respond according to your will. Thank you, God. It's interesting is you see it in Colossians. It says, pray persistently with thanksgiving. You see it in Philippians. It says, in everything, pray with thanksgiving. You jump over to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through, I believe, 18. It says, pray at all times with what? With thanksgiving. And this is this crucial part of our prayer. There's this pattern. You see, the key to staying salty is prayer, but it's also prayer with thanksgiving, a prayer that says, God, I am thankful, I am praising you for all that you've done. You know, prayers and praises are a big part of what we do each and every week at Kairos. And we encourage you and we challenge you to fill out your Connect card every single week. You can do this here in person, you can do it online. But these prayers, these praises, they're so crucial for us. And we all need them. I know you need prayer. You want to know why I know you need prayer? Because I need prayer. Paul needed prayer. Jesus needed. We all need prayer. And on the flip side, I know you have things to be thankful for. I know you have things to praise God for. And if you say, no, I don't, then I think you need to look at your life and change your perspective. Because again, God has you here for a reason. He's working, he's moving. You may not fully understand the plan or where he's taking you or why he has you going through the circumstance you're going through, but he's doing something, and it's going to be amazing if you will just see it through and say, God, thank you for the trials I'm going through right now. I know you're shaping me. I know you're changing me. I know you're preparing me for something. God, I'm going to be thankful in this moment. So I know you have prayers. I know you have praises. I know every single week you have that. And your prayers and your praises, this is how myself and our team, this is how we minister to you. Because, I mean, how often are you guys reaching out to me every week and saying, hey, Pastor Brent, pray for me? I can tell you it's not often. But I know you have prayers. I know you have needs. I know you're going through things. And so we give you a way to let us pray for you. And you can keep it private. And so I would encourage you, Man, every single week, to be persistent. Be persistent in asking for prayer. Be vulnerable. Look for accountability. You know, when you fill this out, no one's judging the things you're going through, because just like you need prayer, and just like you have sin, the same is true for me and everyone else in here. There's no judgment here. The only thing that's here and that is waiting for you, if you would be willing to do this, is support and encouragement and help from your church and also from God. So I would encourage you and to fill out your prayers. Ask for prayer for yourself, and know it's not a selfish thing for you to do that. At the same time, ask for prayer for others. And then I would say, always, always find one thing. If you're having a tough week and you're like, everything is horrible this week, find one thing to praise God for every single week. It should be happening every day, but I'm challenging you right now, during service, to just one praise. Be like, I'm thankful for my name. I don't know. Find something to be thankful for. I'm thankful that they had coffee and that happened. You can say, if you put, I'm thankful for coffee and donuts, I would accept it every single week, okay? Because why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something to be thankful for. I'm thankful that there's AC right now. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so hot and muggy. Find something to be thankful for. Fill out your prayers and praises. It's such a key for us to minister to one another as a church and for us to stay salty. So let's go on now. Colossians 4:3. It continues with prayer. He says, at the same time, pray for us too, that God will open a door of opportunity for us, for the word, to proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear and speak boldly and unfold the mystery in the way that I should. So he says, pray for us too. Pray that we would be given opportunities. And so I would encourage you, if you're not, and I know many of you do, and many of you reach out and tell me that you are, and I get it many times that people are praying, but I would, man, just desperately ask you to pray for me. Pray for me as I try to lead this church. As I go to God's word and pray that he would give me a revelation that would speak into each of your lives. Pray as I have to counsel people and go through difficult situations for them. Pray as I have to make, you know, big decisions about our church, this body of believers, financial decisions that may affect us one way or another. I'm asking you, please pray for me. I need your prayer. And I would also say thank you for praying for me. I would say pray for the staff and the ministry leaders. I mean, these people are just like you. They have jobs just like you. But they have stepped into serving in high capacities and giving of their time a lot of the time, and they're trying to manage everything they have to manage at work and at home, and at the same time provide a space and a church and ministries where you can come and be ministered to. So pray for your church leaders as well. And then look around. You see this? Look at this church. This is a church. Look at each other. It's okay. Don't cough on anybody. Sorry. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. We're called to pray for other believers. Pray that we would be able to go out into our neighborhoods, into our homes, into our workplaces, into our schools, and be the salt of the earth. But as Paul says, pray for us, it all comes down to one thing. Pray that we would all have an opportunity to proclaim Jesus, right? To be Jesus, to share Jesus through word and through deed. And so he goes on in verse 5, and he says, conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, with non-believers. We call them not yet Christians here. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. And here's what I'll say to you. The more salty you stay, the more opportunities to share Jesus, to be Jesus to someone will come your way. Right? If you're being kind, if you're being humble, if you're pursuing righteousness, if you're seeking peace and reconciliation, if you have a pure heart, people are going to recognize that, and you're going to get these opportunities. People know that you're a Jesus follower, and if they don't, they should. And you may not know they know. You may not know they're watching. You may not know that they're listening to see your comments, to see how you'll respond, to see what you repost or what you share online. They're watching to see how you respond to things. How you talk to your boss or coworkers or about them behind their back. How you treat your spouse and your kids. How you're treating strangers. I wonder, are you speaking with wisdom? More so with wisdom or more so impulsively and emotionally and with bias or with pride? Let me just tell you this. A great enemy to salty speech is our pride. It's pride. Pride is the enemy of many things. But as we're out and about, and what we try to do is we try to puff ourselves up, right? We try to make ourselves look better. We try to exert our dominance. We try to exert our importance and our influence. We try to let people know that we're right and they're wrong. And we believe the lie that if we do this, if we exert our dominance and our force and our influence, that people will respect us. But sadly, it's the exact opposite. All that does, all pride does, and how you're treating people, how you're talking to people, all it does is destroy the respect that you may have had with those that you are treating begrudgingly or condescendingly. How we speak, what we speak, who we speak to in around, we must speak it with wisdom and with sound judgment. Because we never know who's listening. We never know who's watching. Y'all know this, right? If you have kids, you know this. Because sometime out of the blue, they randomly blurt something out, and you're like, where'd you hear that? And they just point at you, and you're like, oh. They do listen, right? Not when you need them to or want them to, but they listening. They listening to the things that are coming out of your mouth. They're listening to how you're gossiping about your friends and the bad things that you're saying about the people that you work with. They're listening. They're listening. And then the scripture goes on, and I love this because this is that kairos, right? Where we're supposed to make the most of each opportunity. Paul says, treat every conversation, every interaction, every reply, every post, every tweet, every gram, every story, even every Snap or TikTok. You treat that as if it was precious. Because you know the outsiders, those not yets, they're watching with hopeful anticipation that you will be the salt of the earth. That there will be something different about how you react or you respond to different situations. Your kids are watching. Your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, your coworkers, your classmates, whatever, they are watching, they're listening. And if they don't yet believe, are you giving them a reason to believe in the Jesus that you say you follow? Or are you giving them the reason to just walk away? They say they're a Jesus follower, but they don't act any differently from me, so I don't need Jesus. I need something else. I believe that those who have not yet found Jesus are eager. They may not say it, they may not come out with it, but they are eager to see Jesus in you. They're eager to see Jesus through you. And so staying salty means we always look for opportunities to be Jesus and to share Jesus with others. Colossians 4:6 says, this is where it comes in, let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. So it says, let your speech be seasoned with salt when it's convenient for you, when it benefits you, when it makes you look good, when you want to, when you deserve it. No. Let your speech be seasoned with salt at all times. Supposed to be in prayer at all times. Supposed to be in God's words at all times. Supposed to be the salt of the earth at all times. Every interaction that you have with others should leave them wanting more. Get to a place where they come back a second time and a third time, and they just become regular visitors, right? Because there's something different about them. Whatever the seasoning they're getting, I want that in my life. I need that salt in my life. I don't need negativity. I don't need rudeness. I don't need nastiness. I need kindness. I need gentleness. I need encouragement. I need inspiration. I need someone that's going to be a peacemaker. You see, that rudeness, that nastiness, all that stuff, when you speak in that way, guess what happens? They unfollow you, they unfriend you, they dislike you, and they stay away. But it's in the goodness, it's in the kindness, the gentleness, the encouragement, all of that. It gets them coming back for more. I don't know if you guys remember that there was this meme a while back, or it was a video, and there was this guy, and, you know, he'd sprinkle the salt. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like we need to sprinkle, like, a little encouragement for them, you know what I'm saying? And then we get No one cleaned this up last week, but we're just going to keep doing it more. And your kindness with them, and, you know, you're praying over there for them. You know what I'm saying? And you get this salt, and you get it on people. You know what I'm saying? We gotta be every interaction, every conversation, everywhere where they're at. Just get that action. You know what I'm saying? Just remember that next time you're out and about. And if you actually do that to people, you're standing there in a conversation, and you have a salt in your back pocket. You're like, yeah, I love you. Yeah, you great. This is good. Anyway, sorry, that got a little weird. Here's the truth. You ready? Salting the conversation will bring an opportunity for salvation. Salting the conversation is going to bring an opportunity for salvation. Again, because you don't know who's listening. You don't know who's paying attention. And it may not even be that it's salvation for the person you're talking to. It may be someone else that's saying, wow, what they just said to that person, I want to know more about that. And they go and look for themselves. It brings salvation. See, and what we got to do, and this also comes from Peter. It says, always give a reason to ask others about the hope that you have and be prepared to share it. That's 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to share the hope that you have. In every season, at every time, in every interaction, let's be salty in our speech. So as I close this out, kind of a call to action, two things. This is what I'm going to challenge you with. What unsalty tone or verbiage or mannerism can you begin to change this week? I mean, think about the past week. Think about the past few months. Think about the way that you've responded to your kids at times. Think about the way you respond or react to your parents or to your siblings. Or how about the times when you were talking behind people's back? Or how you respond on social media? Or how you treated the waitress or the person in the drive-thru window because they took too long or they got your order wrong? Think about those inappropriate phrases or jokes that you've been willing to say, the things that you say in the privacy of your car or yell out the window, you know what I'm saying? Think about those things, the things that you mumble under your breath. Listen, I know when that something struck a chord with you about a conversation that you had or something that you said. It did with me. And we're not going to be perfect in our speech. But we keep striving for it, right? But we have to recognize those moments when we've caused hurt, when we've done damage, and like it says, be peacemakers and reconcile. In Matthew 5:9 in the Amplified Version, it says this: blessed, spiritually calm, with life, joy, and God's favor are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called the sons of God. So my challenge to you is to be peacemakers. Let's express the character of Jesus in every situation, in every conversation. Here's what I want to do. I want you to, right where you're at, bow your head, close your eyes. If you're at home, do the same thing. And really think about, get really personal right now. Think about the damage that your words have done this past week. Or this past month, or this past year, where you said something impulsively or emotionally or out of bias or pride, and think about the destructive damage that it has done to that person or to your relationship with that person. And really think about how maybe that has potentially caused them from coming to know Jesus. Here's my challenge to you. As part of the salt of the earth covenant, we're to grieve over our sins. We're to be repentant of our sins. If there is a moment that you're thinking about right now that you can pinpoint, you can say that moment right there. I know that hurt. I know that did damage. I've been wanting to reconcile that, but I haven't had the courage or the strength. What I want to challenge you to right now is first go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for the way I treated that person. I'm sorry for the the words that I spoke did not bring you glory. Lord, please forgive me. And now, God, I would ask you, through your word and through prayer and through support and accountability and maybe the guidance of others, that you would help me, give me the courage, give me the strength, give me the boldness to go and be a peacemaker and reconcile that relationship. I may not be able to get that friendship back. It may not ever be the way that it was. But my hope, God, is that in that I would be able to turn them back to you or create an opportunity for them to come to know you. God, help me be Jesus to them so that they can come to know you. And help me let them know that I made a mistake and I messed up and I want to reconcile right now. God, in our lives, we tend to say things carelessly and hurtfully, and often we don't realize the damage we've done until it's too late. But the greatest thing about the gospel is that it's never too late. You will always forgive us. You will always be graceful. You will always be merciful. And you call us to be that to the people in our lives. God, in the same sense, people have spoken hurtful and damaging things to us. And we could honestly say right now, we know they're not going to come and ask for forgiveness. But because we love you, and we want to be more like you, God, I pray that you would give us the boldness, the courage to be Jesus to them. To show them unconditional love and forgiveness and mercy, and go to them and say, I forgive you. What you said hurt, but it's okay because my Jesus is bigger. And I keep going back to his word and I keep going back to his prayer, and I'm filling up every single day. And I don't know if you are, but here's what I know. Even though you hurt me, I still love you. And can you just hear God saying that to you, right? Even though you hurt me, I still love you. Even though you spoke bad things about me when you were going through that thing that one time, I still love you. And I love you so much, I sent my son to die for you. Let's be that for people. Let's offer that for people. Let's, in our speech and in our actions, let's let them know that no matter what, we are going to offer them the love that was offered to us. God, right now I pray more than anything for reconciliation to take place from this. Yes, God, I pray that it would help us be mindful of our words and understand the weight that they carry. But more than anything, I want reconciliation for relationships so that you can be reconciled back to a people that need your love and your hope and their joy in their life today. Maybe that is you today, right here, right now. You've been hurt, you've been burned. People have treated you harshly. People that profess themselves to be Jesus followers have hurt you. Can I just tell you right now? It doesn't mean they are Jesus. They're just trying to be more like him, and they made a mistake. Don't hold a grudge against God because one of his kids messed up. Come back to him right now, because he is where you will find that peace and that joy and that hope that you are looking for. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for speaking through me today. I pray that as your spirit has moved in this place, that it would continue to move throughout the week. That your spirit, your word, would guide every conversation in every moment. And that we would let our speech be seasoned with salt. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.